It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, airing on HPR1 stations, Fridays, part of All Things Considered, then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org, where our Helping Hand segments are archived in our growing directory of resources. With Helping Hand, we try to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and to other folks and other creatures who are among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we have new organization to the feature. We're learning about the Caregiver Foundation, and we're doing that by way of a fundraising event they've got coming up. It's called A Lay of Care. It is at 3660 on the Rise, Wailai Ave in Honolulu, 11:30 to 2 coming up tomorrow. And our guest is Gary Powell. He is the founder and executive director of the Caregiver Foundation. Thank you very much for joining us today.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And before we get into the event itself, if you can, talk a little bit about the organization and how you're involved.
The organization is a Hawaii-based nonprofit. We work on all the islands with seniors and disabled adults and the caregivers. Sometimes a caregiver needs more help than anybody else. The organization provides a variety of different services, everything from managing someone's money all the way through complete care coordination, up to and including a person's death, burial, and estate distribution. Literally the entire aspect of an individual's life can be made better with our efforts. I got involved when I began caregiving for my grandfather.
It's usually a personal connection that touches people, gets them to do something philanthropic or to give back or to realize the fragility of life like that. And so it's focused on the elderly and the disabled, essentially.
Yes.
And you said you're statewide. Are there offices or brick and mortar facilities on the other islands, or you operate from here and just do outreach to there? How does that work?
We operate from Oahu. Most of our clients, we actually go to them. So regardless of whether they're in Molokai or Waianae, it doesn't really matter to us. We go to them.
And that's usually often an important aspect of dealing with someone who's disabled, because a lot of the time when someone's in a really weighty wheelchair or other sort of condition, they need someone who's going to go there. Sometimes people are in bed and they need someone who's going to go and talk to them or be with them. And this is really important stuff too, because I think it's one of the things that occurred to me about why I wanted to get this on. So a lot of the times when people are facing comprehensive disability in particular, and definitely as you get older, similar sorts of challenges begin to occur in one's life that are like someone who is comprehensively disabled. It really can take a toll on a lot of things because you just can't get around. You can't do the things. There is such a laundry list of needs that one has in their life to take care of themselves and to take care of their responsibilities. And when something like that throws you off of your ability to deal with it, it's very important. And in a lot of cases, it's a big, it's a crisis because there aren't organizations to help in this way. And you need home health aides and they do a certain role. But then the other stuff, they, you know, sorry, man, this is what I do. And I'm here from 11 to 2 and then I leave kind of thing. And that can be really tough for folks. So for people in the community who are disabled themselves and are tuning in, have a loved one that's disabled and they want them to know about this organization and what you offer. They're caring for someone and it's an unbelievable burden and task and they love them, but it's difficult. Let's talk about some of the different services. I was looking at your website and I've dialed in on several that we're going to talk about in a minute, but paint a picture of who listening should consider getting in touch with you. And talk maybe about some of the most common resources that you end up providing and that you know are really important or come up as things that aren't getting done in their lives that you can help fill that gap.
Probably the most comprehensive is our ability to plan a whole series of services and coordinate them for individuals. There actually are a lot of resources in Hawaii. Almost all of them are not coordinated. We can step in and make that that coordination happen so that it becomes less frustrating and more fulfilling to the individual. The caregivers especially need that type of help. They're frantically trying to find different resources. We're able to help guide them. Sometimes they just turn around and say, look, just take care of the whole thing for us. We're totally burned out. Or perhaps an individual that needs help has family on the mainland, or perhaps they have no family. There are so many people, both disabled adults and seniors, that are isolated.
Right.
They can't get out. And although they may make a lot of phone calls if they're able, at some point they give up.
And that's a huge part of it, is when you are facing these, when you live in a wheelchair, you can, depression can set in very, very easily. Your desire, you're excluded from so many facilities that you're not accessible to you. So you begin to live with that. And then maybe if you need a bigger wheelchair, maybe you're spending some time in bed, those things go away even further. And then your drive to even get out goes with it. And that isolation can just happen. And I've seen it myself. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And that becomes, then you're alone. We're also in a state where you get the impression there's a lot of family, but there's a lot of people they end up alone. And there's also a lot of people are used to doing things in their life. And that friend of theirs who is not able to join them in that, when that becomes part of the routine that my friend Bob, my friend Jane, they can't participate in this. I'm not going to call them for that. I'll call them some other time or whatever. It becomes that person, it's not that they are intentionally marginalized, but our society is made for able-bodied folks. Mm-hmm. And the people who cannot get around as much are susceptible to so many of these issues. That seems to be what you're pointing out.
It is. That is so true. Helping those individuals should be one of society's top goals. Unfortunately, because they are isolated, they're also out of view. So they don't become a priority.
Do you get a lot of calls from folks who are disabled, or you get more from the caregivers? I mean, for your name implies the Caregiver Foundation, but at the same time, when you're seeking care, you could just as easily turn to someone like you.
We get pretty even distribution. We get a lot of calls from the seniors themselves and the disabled adults. Our caregiver support groups really reach out to the caregivers individually. And so we do get a lot of calls from caregivers. Even more, we get calls from people's attorneys and their doctors. And those are the people who are kind of looking at their clients and saying, gosh, we put all these plans in place, but who is there to execute them?
Yeah, that's usually, and these are some of the real issues that come up. And that's the tough thing, because the person is just not able to do, they can't even get out of bed, they can't go to the bathroom by themselves, there are so many, the catheter, I mean, there are just so many issues that without a network of folks, and that's just to take care of their medical stuff, and that's not even dealing with the socialization issue, which, you know, if you're just taking care of the medical thing over and over and over, and the socialization thing keeps slipping, one can then feed into the next, at least is what I seem to notice.
It does. It's an individual who hasn't had any incontinence issues in their life suddenly has them, typically stops going anywhere, even though there are great products out there that can minimize any embarrassment. The embarrassment that person holds in their heart keeps them out of society. And then that compounds more and more. They just push away. We try to go in and help everybody, whether they're disabled or just aging, understand that everything is just part of life. It's what we have. We've got to make the best of it and never let it conquer us.
Is there, before we dig deeper into some of these things, invaluable services that you provide, fees, any financial requirements, things like that, that are important for folks to know to get these visits to talk with people in your organization? What do we need to know on that end?
We are a self-sustaining nonprofit, which is a little unusual. So there are fees with most of the services. However, a call never costs anybody anything, and usually an initial visit doesn't cost anything. We try to look at the person's resources and help them be realistic about what they're going to need, whether it's going to be government services, and then help guide them through those services, or whether they do have enough resources to be able to hire in services. Everybody's different. We have clients that have enough money to hire anything they need, and we have others that have to look at, realistically look at using Medicaid and other services that the government will help with. And guiding them through that process is a real important part of what we do.
So payment for your services cannot come from insurance or any of those things?
Not yet. We keep trying to figure an angle to help people use their insurance.
And it's so then you're also saying it's a sliding scale to some degree in terms of what you're going to. So if somebody calls you and they don't have finances they don't have a lot of finances, they have some needs, the cost that they're going to pay is going to be different than somebody who has more financial need or who has more financial means.
Yes, and that's why we do our fundraisers, to try and provide those funds for individuals that don't have enough resources.
And you guys are a 501c3?
We are.
Okay. Family caregiving planning, special needs trusts, trusteeship, guardianship. These are some of the really critical issues that I got off of the website. These are potentially they could affect all of us. Things that elderly and many with serious disabilities need to deal with on a more day-to-day basis. Sometimes they arrive suddenly, too, in someone's life. If you can, dial in on how you navigate through some of those particular issues.
Well, that's a wide range to go through.
Special needs trusts.
Special needs trusts are a very unique financial tool, legal and financial tool, that allow benefits to an individual to be received from the government while they have a fund available and administered for their benefit, but it never belongs to them, so it can't be used to disqualify them from those benefits. This type of a trust can be set up by almost anyone, and it's usually done for a disabled child, knowing that that person, as they mature and become adults, their needs are not going to be any different. They're going to probably be even more extensive. So a parent could take out a life insurance policy, make a special needs trust the beneficiary of that policy, have someone like our organization be the trustee. It does take expertise in administering those. But then travel can happen, computers can happen, trips to the movies can happen. Things that Medicaid will not pay for can still be happening, just as though mom and dad were still able to provide those.
And they have to pay for trust administration to your organization?
Yes.
Okay.
It's usually built into the trust.
Okay. And what does something like that cost, as an example?
It differs quite widely. Some of them cost about $250 a month. Others are less, and some are more. Depends on the intensity of the trust administration.
Guardianship. People who are facing that would be situations where people become incapacitated and unable to look after themselves.
Yes, guardianships have to be granted by the courts. And it's usually, with seniors, it's usually done because of a cognitive issue, incapacity. With disabled adults, often it's done because they don't have anyone to represent and advocate for them. Mm-hmm. And we serve in that capacity quite a lot.
So the advocacy roles, when people have an advocacy need, so is every single service basically they have to pay for? Advocacy too? I mean, if they need somebody to advocate, like someone's needs aren't being met, they're not getting, the home health aides are not arriving. You know, they're saying, I pay for this service. They're supposed to be here twice a day. They're not coming twice a day. Is that something like if they call you, you guys can get involved and help?
Certainly would try to, yeah.
And is that something that people would pay for, or that you
probably
guys?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's we try to provide as much service as possible without fee.
Okay, well, that's a pretty important one that people run into, because that's a very important, when people are disabled, the home health care that they're receiving becomes absolutely critical. And unfortunately, in the United States, sometimes those services are left to people whose qualifications are shockingly low. It's unbelievable, really, who can get a job doing that, looking after your mom in need. And when they show up, you can't believe that that's who's coming, if they show up on time. So if there are situations like that, maybe you can paint a picture. Are there any certain crises that you've been involved with that illustrates the way that you've been helpful in the community?
I'll give you a couple. We had a senior couple that we were visiting with, and we received a call from the wife about 10:30 at night, and she had fallen and broken her hip. Now, that obviously means she has to go to a hospital. So we quickly dispatched 911 for her. But she had a husband for whom she was the caregiver. Suddenly, there's no one there for him. We were able to coordinate a caregiver into that residence by 11 o'clock. Pretty hard to do in the middle of the night to pull that off, but we try to make sure that we have enough resources on tap that we can call in a favor if needed, whatever we need to do to get somebody taken care of. Mm. With disabled folks, we've had situations where the hospital has suddenly discharged a disabled individual. Why, we can never figure out, because that person obviously cannot care for themselves. And we've scrambled to find placement for that person, find proper care, protection, transportation, things that that individual needs simply to continue life. So every issue is different. I like to tell people our work is never boring, but we do it to try and make people's life more secure and more satisfying.
Is it a 24-hour availability?
It is.
So the phone number at the end that I'll give is a 24-hour reach.
That one, the office number is usually there from 8 to 5. We do have a 24-hour number that we give out to individuals who are in need of that.
Okay, so once someone has reached out to you and become part of your service, then they get access to the 24-hour.
Yes.
Is how that works. The benefit that's happening tomorrow, a lay of care, give us some highlights on that. And for folks who are going to, who would like to come and support the organization, what's involved with coming to that? What are you looking for in terms of a donation or contribution? And what will be going on at the event?
The event's going to be a lot of fun. We have Clyde Aikau coming to share his mana'o with us. We also have Doug Fitch providing music. We've got Harvey Omar, the magician, Mr. O, coming to dazzle us. It's such a fun event. The food is great. We have a fabulous silent auction with donations that come in of artwork and beautiful collectibles and trips and all kinds of things that it's a lot of fun to participate in. We try to make our events very casual, a lot of fun, and yet allow people to help us help those they love.
And do people make a donation, a set donation to attend? Or
yes.
Is it...
Tickets are $75.
Okay. And then at that, they can do further participation, it sounded like?
Yes. We've got a raffle going on that people are welcome to participate in. Of course, donations of any size are always welcome. We have a program that we call Pulama Aloha, and it's our designated fundraiser fund that the donations go into that generate additional revenue for the organization to underwrite individuals who need that help.
And are there, obviously this thing is happening tomorrow, so understood volunteer opportunities for this would be a very quick turnaround and not necessarily something that you haven't already planned for, but in other ways, I can imagine the day-to-day administration of what you're doing, how does it work in terms of folks who are listening, who are inspired to support you by giving of their time?
Our type of organization, understandably, has a lot of regulation. We're under both the HIPAA rules as well as the other privacy rules. So some of the areas that we work in cannot have volunteers, but we do have opportunities for volunteers to help us in a lot of clerical areas, administrative areas. Not so much with the actual individual, but we try to, if someone wants to volunteer to work with individuals in their homes, we work with other organizations to place those volunteers effectively.
Sure.
And try to really support programs that are already doing that and doing a great job.
Well, that's an important thing too. So you can forward along and help those people. So if someone is interested and says, this is the kind of thing I'd like to do, and if you see a fit, you can find a match organization, so to speak.
Yes. One area that we do use volunteers and are always looking for is in establishing new support groups. We do facilitator training about 3 times a year. So someone that might be interested in running a support group in their community, we'll train you up, we'll support it, help run it, help get speakers, and make it a successful support group in your community. Caregivers need community support groups that are near them.
How many support groups are you running, and is there a cost to attend those?
There are no costs to any support groups or any of our 50 workshops that we do. They're all over the island. We have five that we directly sponsor, and then we support all a long list of support groups that are sponsored by churches and hospitals and other organizations.
Okay, that's very good to know. And throughout the state, other islands support groups?
There are a few. There's a real great group in Kona. There's a one in Kauai, but there aren't very many on the neighbor islands.
Is that something you'd like to grow if
yes,
there are folks that are interested? Because
so.
We have a statewide audience, I'm thinking that could be an area.
We'd really like to do that. One of our biggest needs right now is to figure out how to travel along among the islands more efficiently.
Well, that's a tough thing. And the state really, it would be nice if somehow the state could figure out a way to incorporate something like that, sort of like the way Seattle has with its ferry system, which is possibly the best ferry system I've ever seen in my life, which I understand is subsidized by the government, but provides for extraordinarily low cost and very safe and efficient travel in an area that is not unlike what could work out here. What are other things in addition to donating, in addition to some of the things that we mentioned in terms of volunteering and you helping other organizations by receiving interested volunteers and then passing them on to places that could use that type of specific support? You need people on your board, tangible skills, services. Is there particular equipment that you need? Building ramps, grab bars, other ADA things that need to be accomplished for folks, you know, plumbers who want to help out, carpenters who want to help out. What is it in particular as we put out a call for people with specific skills or equipment that they could provide to you?
We're building a database right now of people who will help seniors and disabled folks with those home improvements, either at cost, at no cost, or very low cost. That's a significant need, and we need to have a good resource. So we're building that right now. So anyone that's skilled in those areas, we'd love to have you on our database.
Do you have some of those folks already?
Yes, we do.
So just painting a picture here just so that I can figure this out. So if someone calls you in there and they say, I need a small ramp built, or I need a couple grab bars in my house, or I have just unfortunately evolved into a larger wheelchair, and this wheelchair is just 2 inches wider than the door jams in three places in my house. I could stay in my house if these door jams were widened. Do you have people who would go and do this for folks?
Right now, we don't have someone that would actually widen the doors, because that could involve some structural mm-hmm. work. But the other areas, ramps and grab bars and things like that, we do have some volunteers that can take care of that type of thing.
At no cost?
At no cost.
That's good to hear. Very good to hear. But you're looking for, sounds
We're
like...
We're looking for plumbers, electricians,
and
know,
somebody
properly
who,
licensed.
I'm sorry?
Properly licensed, of course. People who are licensed to deal with structural improvements. Architects who can go in and help actually redesign a house. There are so many things that can be done that don't require huge sums of money.
That's right.
To make a house livable.
Exactly. Well, that's why I painted that picture. There are some of these things that are a little bit beyond a grab bar, and I like to dial in on those because I know that on behalf of many people who are in wheelchairs, those are a little bit more significant, and I like to talk about those. So if there are carpenters, people who are licensed and capable, structural, who know how to do these, they take a bit of work, but they're still minor, to widen a door, to make it so that someone in a heavier wheelchair can get around. You'd like to hear from those people?
I would, yes.
Okay.
Anybody who's very good at websites and social media and all of that, we're always looking for help in that area too. I can break websites quickly, but I can't fix them very fast.
You need doctors, lawyers, accountants. What do you need in that skilled area?
We need some on the board. That would be very helpful because we try to have a board that we can reach out to, that the workers in the organization can reach out to at any time when we need a particular answer on a specialized area with taxes or with a legal issue or a medical concern. So we are looking for folks to serve on either the main board or our advisory board, as well as to make themselves available. And they can give us the hours that they are would be available, that we can then turn around and tell someone, here, call Dr. So-and-so, and they will be able to give you an answer on this.
Okay, so doctors, so you need all three, doctors, attorneys, CPAs, all welcome right now?
All welcome, yes.
And you're in need of them?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of all three listening, and I am hoping they hear our call that they get in touch with you. Those are a lot of good areas that we put out there. And you can correct me and make sure that I have all the information right. If folks want to learn more about this organization and then reach out to them and offer any one of these services that we just talked about, thecaregiverfoundation.org is the website.
Yes.
At that website, there's an email form online that folks can use to reach you, or they can email gary@thecaregiverfoundation.org.
Anytime.
808-625-3782 is the general phone number.
Yes, it is.
And once, so if someone calls you and they get involved with you, do they have to be a paying customer to get the 24-hour line, or what does it take to get that?
It depends on the situation. We work with lots of folks who are disabled for different reasons, and so sometimes the 24-hour isn't appropriate for everyone.
Right.
So we have to gauge it by the individual.
That's true. And a disability, and I always, it's such a big word, and so it's a huge word. It's like saying the word drug. You know, there's just so many things that are implied by disability, and it's not always as dire, you know, as maybe what I always have in my head, because I'm trying to help those people, because it's such a, like we've talked about, it's an isolating situation, and you really want to have people embracing you and coming with assistance and love, support, and smiles. Well, it's good to know. All these contact methods are included in the Helping Hand post for this organization at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. You can get the full interview, the radio feature, all the contact details, and all of our other Helping Hand guests. They're all waiting for you at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. So no need to jot down anything right now as you're driving and listening. Other areas of concern that I failed to include that we need to get in there? Let's do it.
I hope everyone will look at their own lives, plan for their future, don't leave their kids the problems that they may be dealing with now themselves. Plan ahead, look ahead, be realistic. We're all going to check out of this place eventually. Let's make it as pleasant a time as long as we're here. And if society will pull together and quit looking at aging and disability as problems and look at them as realistic parts of life, that would go a long way.
The event is happening tomorrow. It's A Lei of Care, 3660 on the Rise, Wailea Ave in Honolulu, 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Could work perfectly into your day. At the event, you'll get a chance to meet my guest, and you could, if you have any of these talents that they're looking for, step up to the plate, and I'm sure be very well received by Gary Powell, founder and executive director of the Caregiver Foundation. My guest today here on Helping Hand. I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much.